This is a better than usual Thursday. This is definitely, we usually have a good Thursday here, but this is definitely a better than usual Thursday. Jimmy will be here second hour. We're going to do open forum with Jimmy Akin, second hour. First hour, we're going to talk about the gospel of life. And you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. The gospel of life is the gospel, but it's also the name of an encyclical from the great Saint Pope John Paul II. And it is about loving and respecting life in all of its stages, and it's about how we go about doing that. And so today, if you have questions about how to build a culture of life, you're welcome to call. If you have questions about caring for and loving those who may be facing difficult circumstances in regard to loving and respecting life, you're welcome to call as well. 888-318-7884. And you're going to want to call because we have two sisters of life here with us. Sister Michaela, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And Sister Maristella, thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks.
And maybe I should first ask you, well, I know you are a Navy veteran.
That's
you
right.
Went to Annapolis and then served in the Navy. I read that you were a gunnery officer. Is that true?
That is true.
Okay,
yeah.
That's probably pretty typical among women religious, right? A lot of gunnery officers become women religious. And then, Sister Michaela, you are you're trained in biochemistry. You have a master's degree in biochemistry.
Correct.
So that too, it doesn't seem like the first step towards religious life, but religious life is for everyone, I guess. There's for women. So tell me a little bit, if you would, about, first of all, maybe what the Sisters of Life are. Where were you founded? What is your charism? Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Sure. We're the Sisters of Life, and so we're women religious, and we believe that every person is good and sacred and valuable. But we know in this world it's really easy to forget that sometimes. But we've discovered that when people experience that they're loved for who they are, not for what they can do or what they can produce, but for who they can really thrive and dream about their futures again. And so we work with women who are pregnant and in difficult situations and help them to know that they're loved so that they can choose life for their children. And we also work with women who are suffering after the experience of abortion to help them experience the mercy that Jesus wants for them. And we also bring God's plan for life and love to university campuses, where we help young people discover the beauty of their lives and to live it.
Again, I want to give out the number 888-318-7884. So, Sister Michaela, you've been a Sister of Life 12 years.
12 years.
And so what attracted you, first of all, to the life of a woman religious, but in particular to this order?
Mm-hmm. So short answer is Jesus attracted me to this life. And I grew up in a phenomenal parish in Indiana where a lot of people just had very living relationships with our Lord and taught me to love Him and love Him in the Eucharist.
Yeah.
And the deeper I got into that relationship, the clearer it became that He was asking me to be His own, to give my whole life to Him, which has been a tremendous gift.
And so if you're in the Midwest, I think the Sisters you were founded in New York City.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So how do you find the Sisters of Life?
Google.
They have that in the Midwest, huh? So you really, is that what you did?
I did. I had a sense God was calling me, and I didn't know a lot about what orders were out there. I knew that my gifts were not in teaching, so that ruled a lot out. So I started looking at what else was out there, and I'd always had just a real passion for life. And so when I found the Sisters of Life, I couldn't believe they existed. I was so excited and went out to visit, and the minute I walked in the convent door, it was this grace that it just felt like home, and I knew I was in the right place.
You had a similar sense that this charism met perfectly with your internal inclinations.
Yeah, it's really true. It's I had heard about the Sisters of Life from a number of people. I was actually stationed in Italy before I entered our community, and a number of seminarians who were studying in Rome kept mentioning the Sisters of Life. And so finally, when I went to visit, it was almost as if I was discovering everything that was in my own heart. I was seeing it lived out. And it was so profound because I felt like I was discovering God in a new way through His radical mercy, the abundance of His goodness, His love for life, and His joy in the sacredness of every human life. So it was just an astounding discovery of myself, but also of the person he created me to be.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And now you both have these pendants on. What is the pendant? Is that a mark of your order? Or?
Yes, this is the Madonna of the streets. And Cardinal O'Connor, who's our founder, wanted us to wear this medal. And this was very important story. Many people recognize the image. It's the famous Ferruzzi image. And he would say that there's a story that goes with the image. It's actually, what it is actually a diptych. So two paintings next to one another. And there's a story that there's a woman of the streets, a prostitute, walking through the streets, and she's just given birth to her child, and she's distraught and confused and doesn't know what to do. And she's looking for someone, anyone, to help her. And then the other side of the diptych is the Blessed Mother, and she's also walking down the same street carrying the Christ child.
Yes.
And they run into one another, literally, and Mary takes her child from her and gives her the Christ child. And so the woman of this image is actually the woman of the streets who's received Christ and now been transformed into her dignity. So she's called the Madonna of the streets.
So that's what you do, isn't it?
Like that's really our spirituality, that we bring Christ to others, yeah.
So you're founded by, as you said, Cardinal O'Connor in the early 1990s. Mm-hmm. Is the founding of your order and is the charism of your order a kind of a direct response to what Pope St. John Paul II would have called the culture of death? I mean, that's the time period, but is that the circumstance that you're intended to respond to?
It is. Some of the founding graces of our community really actually were born out of the fruit of, or the sorrow, the horror of the Holocaust. Cardinal O'Connor, when he was named a bishop, took a retreat at a Carmelite monastery near Dachau in Germany. And he had a profound experience when he was walking through the concentration camp and praying, and he actually placed his hand into one of the semicircular red brick ovens where the bodies were cremated. And he had this mystical experience where he said he felt the intermingled ashes of rabbi, priest, and minister, Jew, Christian, man, woman, and child, and was just horrified and said, "Good God, how can man do this to another man?" And committed himself from that moment to doing whatever he could in his preaching and his writing to promote the sacredness, the dignity of all human life. And then several years later, he was praying with the scripture of Mark chapter 9, where the apostles have just returned from preaching and healing and being sent out. And they come back and they say to the Lord, "It was amazing. We did so many wonderful things. But there was this one demon that we could not cast out." And our Lord responds to them, "This demon can only come out through prayer and fasting." And Cardinal O'Connor heard in that a spiritual response was needed to the culture of death, that all of the legislation, all of the marches, all of the rosaries, everything that had been done, still abortion was on the rise, still the sacredness of human life was being attacked. And he had this deep, profound understanding that what was needed now was a spiritual response to this evil.
So he did what any good cardinal would do and put an ad in the paper?
That's really how it started?
It's really true. His weekly column in Catholic New York. At the time, there was no internet. So a lot of the ways you found out about news was many people around the country subscribed to Catholic New York, the Catholic newspaper. And it was in his weekly column that he wrote this article called "Help Wanted, Sisters of Life." And he was doing it out of obedience to the Holy Spirit. And it was really to his great shock and surprise that the letters came in around the world. And so, yeah.
And the order was founded. So you said part of your ministry is to go to campuses. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about that? What happens? What do you do? How do men and women on college campuses today receive you? Can they make sense of you?
Yeah, I think so. It's surprisingly well. It goes really well, actually.
Oh, okay.
We know that young people are, really their hearts are open, so open to receive the truth and so desire the truth. And basically, there's many factors, really ultimately the Holy Spirit that invited us into this mission to serve on university campuses. But before I moved to Denver, where we're now serving on a number of different university campuses, I was in our Hope and Healing Mission, which is our works of retreats and accompaniment for women who are suffering after the sorrow of an abortion. And most of the women I knew from that mission had abortions while they were in college. And it was so clear to us for years that we've always wanted to serve college women better because we know they're the most vulnerable to abortion, in fact. And so we've tried a number of different things over the years, and through the invitation of the Archbishop of Denver, we were invited out there and in collaboration with Focus. And so we've decided to launch this. We wanted to just be present, to be there for the women, and hope in some way that we can encounter them and serve them and love them and help them to know the dignity of their lives.
And is that happening? Do you feel that you are having these encounters?
Oh, in many ways, yeah. We're really we're meeting women all the time who are at pivotal moments in their life, yeah, and growing and changing. So it's really an extraordinary mission. It's really beautiful. Yeah.
The Gospel of Life is our topic this hour. We have two women religious from the Order, the Sisters of Life. You are welcome to call with your questions about how we Catholics might contribute to building a culture of life. If you have questions about healing after abortion, if you have questions about how you might share the message of God's infinite love for each and every human life, all those calls are welcome. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Sister Michaela and Sister Maristella right after this.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
Catherine Zeltner.
There are so many misconceptions when it comes to abortion and assisted suicide. It's really confusing, and I think for a lot of people, they don't know how to talk about these things. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, we help to change that. We help to really untangle these web of lies. Listeners can expect to become informed and then grow more confident so that they can then discuss and dialogue these issues, and together we can really impact culture in that way.
EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on EWTN Radio.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It is so nice today to have two Sisters of Life here in the studio with us. You know, I've heard about you all for a long time, and I've never met any Sisters of Life. So are you like the cream of the crop, or are they all like you? So far,
they're better.
Oh, they're better. Better.
Far better.
She wins the humility contest. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. If you have questions about building a culture of life, if you have questions about healing after an abortion, you are welcome to call. 888-318-7884. Or maybe you have questions about what is the appropriate way, or how do we love as Jesus loved those women who are facing difficult times now because they're pregnant or maybe have gone through an abortion. That question is welcome as well. 888-318-7884. Do you all do retreats too? Is that enough?
Mm-hmm.
So like say say someone wanted to go on a retreat with the Sisters of Life, how would they? Oh, you're going to say Google now.
No. I'm going to say our website.
Oh, okay.
Sistersoflife.org. We'll skip the Google step.
Okay.
And you can go to, there's a link there to our retreats, both in Connecticut, where we have our retreat center, Villa Maria Guadalupe. We also do retreats up in Toronto, Canada, where our sisters are, and out in Denver, Colorado.
Okay. And the retreats are for women? Or do you
We have all different kinds. We have young adult retreats, retreats for young women, women of all ages. We have come and see retreats for those discerning religious life. We have retreats for those who have suffered the experience of abortion. We have retreats on prayer that are open to both men and women. And I think we have a working men's retreat as well with the tagline, bring your own chainsaw.
That's good.
Yeah.
Chris is on the line from Northern Michigan, listening on Barriga Radio there in Northern Michigan. Chris, you are first up with Sister Michaela and Sister Maristella of the Sisters of Life. Your question, please.
Hello, how you doing?
Very well.
Chris. Yeah. Thank you, sisters, for all your prayers and all your sacrifices. And I'm going to try to get this question put out the way I want to. I'm asking for the Holy Spirit's guidance. But with abortion being our biggest target, I'm looking at it, and we're kind of on my perspective, we're missing the whole aspect of morality. Are we ever going to get rid of abortion unless we attack immorality? I see too many people out there who are all pro-life and they're strong in their belief, but then they're dressing very immoral. And even the March for Life, they're dressing immoral. And it's like we're trying to get rid of something without getting rid of the root cause. And if we do make abortion illegal in our country, it's going to still happen because we haven't attacked the root cause of immorality.
All right. That seems like a fair question, sisters.
Sure. Yeah, thank you, Chris, for your question. I think, honestly, it's a both and. You know, why work on only one at a time? That they go hand in hand. And really, a lot of our work as Sisters of Life is helping individuals to know the dignity of their own life. Because if you don't know the dignity of your own life, you're not going to be able to respect the life of another or to cherish the life within you. And so it is, as Sister Maristella was saying, a lot of work on the college campuses is just helping the men and women there to know their own goodness, to know their own dignity, to believe in it, to believe in God's mercy and restoration and healing, so that they can begin to live in a way consistent with their faith and to recognize what that is. And then it all flows together.
Part of the idea there, many of the things that we do in our society and even take in the normal course of life that are actually immoral or hurtful, or we are inclined to those because we don't know we're beloved. Is that what you're
yes.
getting?
Yeah.
Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. They flow side by side, like Sister was saying. But I just it kind of makes me laugh a little bit when somebody's so pro-life, but yet they don't understand their own, like you said, their own dignity and how, you know, God lives in them and they need to cover up.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts?
No, you're right. I think he brings up a good point that the way we carry ourselves, the way we dress, the way we act communicates something to the world and what we believe, not only about others, but what we believe about ourselves. And I'm all for women dressing with reverence for themselves because, we see it often, even on the campuses or with young women we're working with. And we just want them to know your body is sacred and you are sacred and so good. And so we want to cherish that and protect that and guard that. And sometimes they've never heard that before or they don't believe that about themselves. But if they're taught, they're really open to it.
Do you have the sense as... from your perspective, and Chris, thank you very, very much for the call. Really very much appreciate that call. If you have a call, a question for the Sisters of Life about building a culture of life, about healing from abortion, or about responding to those who may be thinking or considering abortion, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Some women have said to me that young women today, you know, the hookup culture and all of that, they've bought into something that really in their heart they don't want. They don't want to live that way. It's kind of it's like women are being told this is liberating, but it's really like taking on the worst aspects of macho male society instead of really expressing womanhood. Is that a fair thing, and is that something you address with young women?
Absolutely. I would agree that the desire of every human heart is to receive love, authentic love. We were created by love and for love. And so anything less than that pure, authentic love that we were made with by our creator is going to leave them empty eventually. And I think people discover that after a time. It might, that the hookup culture, the party culture might satisfy a need for a while, but there's a deep emptiness and a deep loneliness that we see among young people.
So say you go to one of these college campuses, do you feel like you're... it's all right to kind of judge people there, like, oh, these people are not good. I'm a nun, and I'm way better than these people.
No way.
Because I think sometimes people feel like this Catholic message is a little bit judgy, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But so how, I guess that's what I'm getting at, is how do you approach this in a way, I mean, it seems obvious actually speaking to you, this is the way that you live, but to share the truth about the dignity of each person, how each person is beloved, but to do so in a way that is not accusatory, I guess.
I think a lot of it is just receiving people, especially on the college campuses. The encounters that we have, particularly with students who aren't Catholic or who are just intrigued that there's a sister on their campus or what are you doing here? Just to get to know them for who they are and tell me about yourself and what's important to you, what brings you joy, what are you involved in?
Yeah.
And that builds up their dignity just in that conversation without being preachy, without, you know, getting into
right
things that would make them uncomfortable, or but just the way that they're received, they can feel that they're loved, mm-hmm. and that communicates so much in and of itself.
I have to say, you personally, Sister Maristella, have the ability to look at another person who's asking a question and with the expression of, that is the most idiotic question I ever heard. when I was just saying that, like, that doesn't compute for you at all, this idea of judging another person.
Oh, my goodness, no. It's like the furthest thought I have with everyone we're seeing on these campuses. I mean, I know that this is... someone whom God has chosen to exist from all eternity.
Yeah.
That he's loved this person into existence. And so when I see a student or a young woman walk by, maybe doesn't, I don't know, dress properly or however you imagine, I know that the Holy Spirit is mysteriously present in this human heart.
All right.
And I believe that their lives are so sacred. And it's a privilege for me to receive the gift of that person, that God has somehow ordained the experiences of our lives that I could come and encounter this person who has the capacity to reveal him to me in a way that I've never seen before, that this is a unique and unrepeatable expression of God's love in the world.
Again, 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Kayla on Facebook says this: I assist with campus ministry at our local community college. What are some ideas in reaching out to college women? And she also adds, we would love to have you visit one day. And I assume that means you, not me. So I'm just going to guess that.
We could all go together.
So what about her question about, like, she's a laywoman doing campus ministry at a community college. Any suggestions for her?
We could share some of what we've been doing on campus is what we found effective has been, just again, reaching out, letting women know that there's another woman there that they can talk to that is not judging them, that loves them and wants them to share God's love with them. So some of the things we do is we meet one-on-one with women, you know, just get together for a cup of coffee, listen to her story, hear what's going on in her life. We also host women's nights on campus. So every semester we have a different series. This semester on the campuses, we're doing a series on identity and the fact that we don't need to make up our identity. In fact, we should not make up our identity, but that as Christians, we know our identity, that we're beloved sons and daughters of God, and how we can allow that to unfold. So we'll give a 20-minute reflection. We'll have a dinner, and then we'll let the Lord speak to their hearts and have a half hour, 45 minutes of Eucharistic adoration. And it's beautiful to see when you just bring people before the Lord what he does.
And you, I assume you must have stories then of people who are vulnerable to being, you know, abortion or vulnerable to other things. You must see, do you, I guess it's a question really, do you see transformations in individual people?
Oh, yeah.
Or is there anything you could share with us?
Yeah, there's so many good stories. Yeah. I can think of one woman that I got to know over several years, and it was around Christmas time, and she and I were meeting together, and in the room next door, we heard the choir was practicing, singing their Christmas songs, and so I turned to her and asked her, and I said, what's your favorite Christmas carol? And she said, Holy Night, Holy Night. And I said, why do you like that one so much? And she said that line, when he appeared and the soul felt its worth. That line, she says, explains my life now. Before she started meeting with us, she was in many difficult relationships, unhealthy situations.
Right.
Had done things she really regretted. And she said, but when I come here, when I come to church, when I sit in adoration, when I speak to you, now I know I'm beginning to experience my own worth.
That is just so powerful because that is exactly what you see missing is the sense of not my worth as an athlete or my worth as a student, but my worth only because God made me and loves me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Wow. 888-318-7884 is the number. We are talking with Sister Michaela and Sister Maristella from the Sisters of Life. If you have questions about the Sisters of Life, you're welcome to call. Okay, I get it. I've made the callers wait a long time. If you're on the line, don't hang up. I am going to get to the call, but we do have to do this break. So you got to wait through the break. But I'm going to get to the callers. And if you haven't dialed yet, we still have at least three. Well, we have three lines open for you. 888-318-7884. You can find out about the Sisters of Life by going to, what's the website?
Sistersoflife.org.
Sistersoflife.org. And you can find out about how to build a culture of life by calling 888-318-7884. We look forward to your questions, and I look forward to the answers from Sister Michaela and Sister Maristella right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible, Jimmy Akin's The Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the church. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
After Jesus, who do you believe has most influenced the world?
Share with us on tomorrow's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Now, let's return to more of Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Delighted to be in studio with Sister Michaela. And I'm saying that right.
Yes, you are.
Sister Michaela. I have panic there all of a sudden. And Sister Maristella, both Sisters of Life. The Sisters of Life were founded in 1991 by Cardinal O'Connor of New York. There are now how many of you? How many Sisters of Life?
115.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
That didn't take long.
I know. Wow.
And you'll welcome more women. If a woman is listening today and says, I believe I might be a Sister of Life, she can call you or she can...
That's right. Go to our website and contact the Vocation Sisters.
Sistersoflife.org. A lot of people want to talk with you, so if it's all right with you, we'll go to the phones.
Sounds great.
All right, let's go to Carolyn in Hudson, New York, listening on 1060 AM. Carolyn, thank you so much for your call. Your question for Sister Michaela and Sister Maristella.
Hi, sisters. Thank you so much for taking the call. So my question was regarding the healing aspect for women after an abortion. I myself have unfortunately lived through the party lifestyle, the hookup lifestyle during my early 20s, and I found that I enjoy going to masses, but I have had a lot of trouble returning to my original hometown parish because I do carry around that despair and shame still after all this time. And I guess my question is, how can women who have gone through this experience feel comfortable and feel, I don't know, hopeful enough again to, mm-hmm. to be accepted back into their parish and feel connected to God again through their own roots and hometown.
All right. Thank you, Carolyn. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Carolyn, that's a beautiful question, and thank you for your openness and honesty and for asking that question. I think it's really a question that all of us asks, because in a way, we're all sinners, and we all need the mercy of Jesus. And so any woman anywhere who's suffering after the experience of abortion can know that in the sacrament of reconciliation, they can be healed and restored and made new in God's love. And that's for all of us. We all need that mercy. Sometimes healing takes time, you know. We know with the women that we've worked with over the years that healing's a journey. It doesn't happen instantly. We know that in the sacraments we're made new, completely brand new, spotless. But sometimes it takes a little while. But oftentimes we know that women really thrive when they go on retreats with one another. We have our Hope and Healing retreats, which are really beautiful and powerful experiences for women, because for so many years, an abortion is something that tends to isolate women. They think that they're the enemy of our souls, tries to tell them that they're the only ones who's ever done that. They're the worst sinners ever, and they're not welcome back in the church. But the truth is, all of us are sinners. And so often when women come on one of our days of prayer and healing or our retreats, they experience for the first time God's mercy so deeply, really through the other women who are suffering. And they're able to communicate God's love to one another and have compassion on one another. So that's very powerful, to be on a journey of healing with others, because we're never meant to live in isolation. The enemy tries to isolate and separate and divide, and God tries to unify and welcome and unite in his love.
Carolyn, how does that strike you?
That was the sweetest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's hard to remember that, you know, we often hear that we need the mercy of Jesus, but we never really think about the aspect that we deserve and will get the mercy of Jesus. You know, it's always this kind of like looming thing. Once you have sinned, you kind of do fall pray to the enemy in your soul, saying, oh, well, now you're a sinner and you'll be cast out. But I think that was a beautiful, beautiful way to remind me that, you know, I should be saved, and I am created by God. And I think that's something I'm going to look into is those retreats. That sounds beautiful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Carolyn. We'll be praying for you and all the women out there. We pray every day. And I know that Jesus said to St. Faustina, the greater the sinner, the greater right she has to my mercy.
Man, God is good, huh? Carolyn, God bless you. Thank you so much for that call. We have the Sisters of Life here with us. Not all of them. We have two of the Sisters of Life here with us today, Sister Michaela and Sister Maristella. And you are welcome to call if you have a question about building a culture of life, healing from abortion, or addressing abortion, whether you know someone who is tempted in that direction, or maybe you yourself would just like some answers in that area. 888-318-7884 is the number. Tom in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on the Great Spirit Catholic Radio, is next. Tom, your question for Sister Michaela and us, Maristella.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. And I also absolutely love Spirit Catholic Radio. My question is, how do you reach people who they might not have a very, very deep understanding of their relationship with God themselves? And so when they approach the idea of abortion, they can't really conceive the concept of how that's detrimenting to another human life. I kind of use the analogy of taking AP chemistry in high school. You have a teacher who knows a lot about chemistry, but might not be the best teacher for basics of chemistry. So there's a gap there. Mm-hmm. And what are some ways that we can help people understand their relationship to Christ and an effort to help them understand the child or the baby that's within them?
Got it, Tom. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Tom, for that question. It's amazing to see in our pregnancy mission, where in particularly New York City, we serve over 1,000 women a year. And I would say the majority of them come to us without a strong faith or without actively practicing a faith. But each of them, when listened to, when loved for who they are, when received as they are, when they're asked, you know, what is the desire of your heart? They intuitively know, I want to give life to this child. I want to be a mother. I want to experience the goodness of this life. And a lot of times it's just the pressures, it's the fear that surrounds them that prevents them or that tells them they can't do it or they'll be all alone and they can't make it on their own, which is true. They need community. And so one of the most effective things that I think we do as Sisters of Life is not necessarily, we do surround them with the practical supports they need and the connections and the, but that one of the most helpful things to them is actually just being there and just being somebody that they can go to, somebody they can call. We have volunteers who are willing to just go out to a cup of tea with a pregnant woman or drive her to a doctor's appointment or just be there when she needs to talk to somebody in the middle of the night. And that just in having their own goodness reflected in that way, that somebody would take the time for them, they instinctively know the dignity of their child and they desire to give life.
Tom?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that by showing people dignity, they understand dignity. Mm. And I think that's a lot of what's lacking in our community. So I appreciate your answer.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, community is what's lacking in our community a lot of the time, among us Catholics, that we stop in on Sunday, you know, but we're, but that there's a lot of people who need that community. I mean, one of the things that we hear when we go out and speak, I don't know if you hear this, but people are lonely because there's nobody there. Mm-hmm. Like, even if they go to parish events, there's nobody there. Mm-hmm. We have to break through that. Mm-hmm. Tom, thank you very, very much. Really, really appreciate the call. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you have questions about building a culture of life, if you have questions about the Catholic Church's stance on human life and its meaning, 888-318-7884, the number. We'll go now to Jason in Omaha, Nebraska, also listening on, well, I have to say it now, the Great Spirit Catholic Radio. I've kind of labeled it great now. I got to keep saying it. Jason, your question for our friends, the Sisters of Life.
Hello, sisters, and thank you for taking my call. Thank you for your ministry and your call, and the answer to call of to Jesus. Mm. I know you're saving many souls.
Thank you.
Do you know of any apostolates or any organizations, not necessarily even Catholic, but specifically for men that have experienced abortion?
We do. Yeah, it's a tremendous sorrow for men who often feel so powerless in that situation. And we work closely in New York, particularly with the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. And they, in collaboration with Lumina Ministries, reach out to men and have programs for men of healing. And you can contact them at Lumina, L-U-M-I-N-A, at postabortionhelp.org, Lumina, L-U-M-I-N-A, at postabortionhelp.org, or their phone number is 877-586-4621, 877-586-4621, and they would be glad to meet you, to walk with you, to hear your story, to help you encounter Jesus.
Oh, that's great. If I could just make one short comment. The last caller talked about restoring dignity. I think it's my opinion that dignity's been stolen from a lot of young people in the past due to the sexual revolution, and the value of life has been greatly diminished. And is there any reasons? I know recently there was a news report that the abortion rate is the lowest number since 1973. Would you have any comments or maybe reasons for why the reduction is occurring? And,
all right. Is this something, I imagine you probably pay attention to that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so many people have been affected by abortion at this point. You know, in the early years after it was legalized, people didn't know. They hadn't experienced it. They didn't know what the effects would be. But at this point, almost everybody knows somebody who suffered, whether they know it or not. A friend, their mother, their sister, themselves. And they've started to realize this isn't good for women. This isn't fulfilling the promises that it held out. And so when they themselves, or when people they know and love, find themselves unexpectedly pregnant, they're looking for other options. They're saying, that's not the best thing for you. Whether I'm religious or not, I know that because of my own experience or the experience of someone I love. And so I think that's really starting to come back around.
I've heard that the young people today know that it could have been them. That they, I don't know if that's true, but some people have said that they, you know, you're 18 years old now. Mm-hmm. You were born in a time when could have been you, could have been your siblings, could have been anyone. That some of your class is missing, in other words, and that's they know it. Mm-hmm. We got to take a quick break. The Sisters of Life are devoted to letting every single person who can hear, who know that Jesus loves them and that love is infinite, immeasurable, and passionate. And for those who can't hear yet, that they be protected and cared for and loved. If you have questions for the Sisters of Life, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Right back with more after this.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. For there is no love, he said, put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. If you haven't signed up yet for Jimmy Akin's free video course, the first video is on Scripture alone. Sometimes you, the Latin expression sola scriptura is used. You'll find out about what that means, how the doctrine is formed, and what is the authority of tradition and more. Just visit Catholic.com right now and click on the free video course tile. It'll be near the bottom of the page, and it's free. Just enroll, and you get to be part of Jimmy Akin's Bible course. Mm-hmm. All connected, of course, to the fact that Jimmy Akin's brand new book is out. The Bible is a Catholic book. I don't know if he uses that in the course, but you should probably get a copy of that too. 888-318-7884 is our number here. Joined in studio by Sister Maristella and Sister Michaela, two Sisters of Life. If you have questions about life, if you have a question about the Catholic Church's position on life, which I actually think pretty much almost everybody on earth knows, but in case you're not familiar with, I mean, I think Catholics are kind of famous for that one. Mm. But or if you want to know, if you have questions about promoting a culture of life, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Katie in Overland Park, Kansas, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM satellite radio channel 130 is next. Katie, thank you so much for your call. Your question, please.
I work in a pregnancy resource center here, and so many of the young women who come to us have told us that the fathers of their babies will support them no matter what they decide. And I wonder if you could speak to, you know, the incredible burden that puts on women to be completely responsible for this decision, because it's totally on them. And then the rare occasion when we have a man who can talk to the father of the baby, and he can tell them, you know, tell her you'll support her, that you don't want her to have an abortion, it's almost like a total transformation. When that couple gets back together, you can almost feel the excitement and the relief on the woman's part that she's not alone in this anymore. Mm-hmm. So I wondered if you'd noticed that same phenomenon.
Definitely, Katie. This is something we tell all of our coworkers of life who are volunteers that help us in serving pregnant women. This is something we always keep in mind ourselves, is a lot of men think that that's the right thing to say when they find out their girlfriend or their wife or whoever is pregnant unexpectedly, that they'll support them whatever they decide. But it's good for them to know that what a woman in crisis hears when he says that is, I want you to have the abortion. That's how that translates in her mind. What she wants to hear him say is, this is our baby. We're in this together. We're going to get through this together. I'm here for you. I'm not going to leave you. And that changes everything, exactly as you said, Katie, that it's such a sense of relief for the woman when the father of the child is also overjoyed, because often she is, whether she admits it or shows it externally or not, she's excited. She knows she's a mother. And she desires to see the face of this child. And so men have a huge role. There's a story of a couple that we knew who had an adverse prenatal diagnosis. They were married. They were told their baby was going to be very sick when born. And they actually called us before the abortion, as they were going into the abortion, asking for resources for post-abortion healing. They were Catholic. They hadn't had the abortion yet, but knew they were going to need to heal. And once we found out they hadn't had the abortion yet, the sisters who were talking to them were encouraging the father, you have to go in there. You have to tell your wife, like, we can do this. We're going to do this. And he, thanks be to God, at the last minute, got up the courage to do that. And when he said that to her, she just broke down crying and said, I was just waiting for you to say something.
Oh, Lord.
I was just waiting for you to say something. Mm-hmm. So praise God.
Praise God indeed. Katie, thank you so much for calling and sharing your experience.
Thank you.
You know, it's funny, you say a woman, when she knows she's pregnant, there's some part of her that's happy and joyful. Mm-hmm. I have to say, when you say that a man should say that to a woman, there's part of a man that wants to be told, you need to be a hero right now. Mm-hmm. You need to step up. Like, mm-hmm. men want that, mm-hmm. and they maybe don't have the role models. They don't know that that's what they're supposed mm-hmm. to do, but... Mm-hmm. step up, that is how you get, I think you express your manhood in a way that really feels like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, this is how I'm supposed to be, mm-hmm. just as a woman mm-hmm. with pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So God bless you. That's wild to hear that story though, that mm-hmm. that woman was waiting. Mm-hmm. She and men, mm-hmm. listen to that, will you? Mm-hmm. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Let's go to Royce in Rollitt, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Royce, do we still have Royce with us? Did I just go to a call that dropped? I keep doing that. I'm going to get in trouble around here. We better go to John in Des Moines. Wait, first I should check to see if John is still there. John in Des Moines, he's not. I don't know what is happening. All right, that's it. Jerry in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on The Rock, AM 1260. You are next, and if you are not there, I will cry. Are you there, Jerry?
Yeah, you don't have to cry.
Yay!
Well, first of all, this show has really been wonderful, and I listened to it quite a bit. But with having the two sisters on today, they were just excellent, and I really am enjoying listening to the things that they have to say. The reason why I called in is because I was listening to my Cleveland station, AM 1260, The Rock. I was driving. This was one day, and it was a show where men were calling in and expressing their feelings about their lost fatherhood because of the fact that their girlfriends or their, I think in a couple of cases it might have been wives, but I believe it was mostly girlfriends, you know, in some cases never told them, even until years later that she aborted their child or, you know, never even consulted with them about the fact that she was pregnant. And these men were calling in, and they were just so distraught and so sorrowful. And you know, and it was just so heartbreaking to me because the way they were talking, it was like these women had these attitudes of, you know, this has nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. This is my body. This is my decision.
Yep.
You know, I don't have to, you know, I don't even have to tell you about it. It just broke my heart. And I was very active in pro-life. Well, I was always pro-life, but I was active in it, you know, in college and throughout, my life. And, just to hear these kind of stories where, especially, you know, these babies could have lived if these women that didn't want the babies would have at least shared this with, you know, their significant other. And
well, let's let the sisters respond to that, because you do deal with men and women in your mm-hmm, ministry. Mm-hmm. So your sense of the sense of loss that men experience?
Oh, I would say it's profound what men experience. It's a deep grief. It's a deep sorrow. And it's a sense of being very powerless in a situation. And so it's a profound loss and a profound suffering. And because it strikes at their very manhood, as you were saying earlier, Sai, that the role of men is to protect and to provide for. When an abortion happens, they're not able to do those things, and they experience the loss of that. You know, we have these group of friends of ours. They're called the Pro Bikers for Life. There's a group of motorcycle guys. They ride uh-huh. Harleys, and they pray outside of abortion clinics. And so what they try and do is they talk to the fathers of the baby while the women are inside, and they'll often encourage them, go in and get her. Come on, man, you can do it. Go get her. And we've had some fantastic stories of that where it's like strengthening to them. And they feel ennobled, and it's what the women want. What they most need is that support and strength. So
it's listening to you, I feel like women want to be women and men want to be men, and everybody's confused about what they're supposed to do in these situations. 888-318-7884, the number. The Sisters of Life are here with us. Nicole asked on Facebook, what advice can you give me as I discern a vocation in the religious life? You got any tips for?
Oh, take courage. It's a great and wild adventure. What a gift to even be considering, and how pleasing it is to God when anyone considers giving their whole lives to Him. That is, brings such joy to the heart of the Father. So advice, I would say, spending time with Jesus in the Eucharist. Because a vocation is really, we don't have to go look for it. What we really need to do is to go into our own hearts and spend time there and ask the Father who made you, how did you create this heart of mine to love in this world? And so discovering how you were created to love in this world. And we need help to do that. We need the support of others. And so I would advise regular mass, regular prayer, regular confession, and then also contacting a vocations director or a spiritual director from a religious community to help them discern that. Because we're never meant to journey alone on this.
And you both said that it was the Sisters of Life that you felt, that's me. And mm-hmm. is that what a woman needs to experience, or at least research different orders to find the one that makes that match with her?
I would say so. Christ calls us to the place, or we're called to the place where our hearts meet the heart of Christ. And so He has a specific plan for you. It's not like you're just meant to enter any old religious community. He has a place prepared for you. The Father prepares a place for us.
The Sisters of Life, you could find them at sistersoflife.org. You're in, you founded in New York City, mm-hmm. but you mentioned Toronto, mm-hmm. you mentioned Denver. Where else are you now?
Along Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Washington, D.C., Connecticut, New York.
Okay, so you're only needed everywhere else.
That's all.
If you're... and how long have you been in Denver now?
4 years.
Oh, four years.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the diocese invited you in, or?
That's right, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do your sisters run the diocesan life office anywhere?
For the Archdiocese of New York. Our sisters run the Respect Life office for the Archdiocese of New York.
All right. And so what if somebody says, maybe they don't have the calling to be a sister, but they would like to join in this work. What kind of advice do you give them? Now the music.
I mean, pray on behalf of life. Prayer and fasting are the most powerful weapons we have as Christians. And also maybe consider praying outside of an abortion clinic, or praying for specific women, or volunteering at a crisis pregnancy center, or setting up a pro-life group in your parish. There's a thousand different ways.
While the music was playing, you did that. Sister Michaela, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Sai.
And Sister Maristella, thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless you.
You can find out all about the Sisters of Life at sistersoflife.org. Do find out about them. They're doing the Lord's work, and I mean that literally. Up next, Jimmy Akin, open forum. Any question you got is welcome. We'll be right back with that after this.